Hi, Dave.
Hi, Eric.
Hey, Dave. Do we curse on this podcast?
Yes, Eric. Yes, we do.
Are you ready, kids? Get your parents' permission, check your mailbox, and grab your shopping cart. It's time for the Adventures in Collecting podcast.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Dave.
Welcome to Adventures in Collecting,
where we talk toy news, culture, and hauls,
along with our journeys as collectors. Welcome to episode 4. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us again.
Yeah, I'm here.
He's back.
It's me.
He's back. And I promise you, it is not Heather doing an impersonation of Dave.
Although I'm sure it would be fantastic.
She refused. So just some housekeeping before we get started with our normal programming. Dave and I are both very excited to announce that we have joined the Non-Productive network. So they're a really, really great network of nerd chic podcasts, everything from Saturday Night Live to Dungeons and Dragons to comic books to they do video games. It's a really great network. They have a really great group of podcasts, and we're really happy to be with them.
Yeah, it's pretty great to be on board, and we're looking forward to kind of getting out there to more people with the Non-Productive Network. So thanks for having us.
Yeah, so I guess also a hello to the Non-Productive Network.
Hello, Non-Productive Network.
The other piece of information or other little thing I wanted to mention actually was this is our first of two episodes in the spooky month of October. So happy October, Dave.
Yes, happy October.
And while we're talking about spooky things, I wanted to mention another podcast that's out there, co-hosted by a very good friend of ours. We'll call him Dave P because we don't want to confuse him with the Dave that you're hearing today. But their podcast is called Calling All Creeps, and it is a deep dive into the Goosebumps series. Their last episode, they had a chance to meet R.L. Stine, the man himself, along with one of the key artists behind a lot of the covers not all of the covers, but a lot of the covers from the Goosebumps series. It's a really great podcast. They're a riot. We're hoping to get Dave P on here at some point to join us. Yeah, definitely check them out if you're into funny shit and or Goosebumps.
Yeah, we're going to hopefully just kind of up the ante on the amount of Dave on this podcast. We're going to go all in Dave. So
all the Dave,
all the Dave,
all the Dave.
Hashtag all the Dave.
Yeah, if you want more Dave on this podcast, please be sure to tag us in your posts on Instagram and hashtag all the Dave.
Or if you've had enough and it's like, I've had enough. Either the hashtag will work either way.
So before we get into the main topic, let's just do a quick recap of the news. I'll kick it off. So last week, if you've been keeping an eye on our social media, which, by the way, if you're not at AIC_podcast to follow us on Twitter and Instagram and all that good stuff, we were posting a lot about New York Comic Con reveals and Triple Force Friday. So I had a great time on Triple Force Friday. I hit up a couple of Walmarts, a Target. I talked to some really great people. It was really cool to see, it was a smaller group than usual, but it was really great to see some enthusiasm about, the Star Wars franchise and the toys and, kind of all the new things that were out. There were some really great Target exclusives with the Futura. Right?
Yeah, Futura.
Futura brands. They did some cross promotion with Funko, and they had an exclusive Darth Vader and some exclusive clothing and Boba Fett. And they were really, really great. There was also the giant fucking 10-inch Boba Fetts, which they were only allowing one per customer, which was very good of Target. Very frustrating for some of the people that were there. But it was great. I got a chance to talk to some people, multi-generational, which was great. There were people there that were older than I was. There were people there with their kids. It was a good time. And I was also able to find everything that I was looking for. So I got all the vintage collection guys that I was looking for, which was great. And I have to say, specifically, that new Ray is just... It's unreal. It's definitely my favorite figure in that scale. I would say it's a tie between the new Rey and actually, which surprised me because it's kind of like my least favorite look for Luke. I absolutely love the Jedi or the Rebel pilot Luke. They did such a good job with it. The head on mine is a little janky. It's a little loose, but otherwise it's awesome. The other piece of news that I wanted to mention was just all the cool shit that came out of New York Comic Con. So in terms of Marvel Legends, I'll kind of stay in my lane on that. But we're finally getting a Stan Lee Marvel Legends figure. There was a rumor going back that he was going to be a Build-A-Figure and there were some rights issues. And, you know, Hasbro surprised everybody by bringing him out. And it's an awesome MCU look. It's the Stan Lee from the first Avengers film. He comes with the chess set. He comes with a very, very tongue-in-cheek autographed, air quotes, autographed Captain America shield for him to hold. I mean, the guy is just, he is a legend. So the fact that they've finally turned him into, plastic is it's only appropriate at this point.
Yeah, it's a great-looking figure.
Yeah, and it looks like it's going to be super easy for everyone to get. It was originally available for pre-order first on Target. It's now on Hasbro Pulse. It's on Amazon. I'm sure it'll be on Walmart soon if it's not already. But it's due out sometime next year, in the late winter, early spring. I'm seeing anything from like kind of February through April at this point, depending on who you pre-order it from. As you know, if you're buying these things, that those dates tend to change. So just keep an eye on it. But it looks like they're going to make it so that everyone who wants one can get one, which is awesome. The other big Marvel Legends reveal was the first family, the Marvel's first family. So new looks for the Fantastic Four. You've got Mr. Fantastic. You got Invisible Woman. You got Thing. You got Johnny, it's the Human Torch, the whole gang is there, and they all look awesome. They're in their new looks, their modern comic looks, and of course the big bad himself, Dr. Doom. Marvel Legends collectors have been clamoring for him for years and years and years. Hasbro has not touched him, so the newest Dr. Doom you could get is back from the Toy Biz days, so people are very excited, and I have to say it looks incredible. They had actual final figures with them at New York Comic Con to show. They weren't like paint samples, so it's how they're actually going to look, and they looked fantastic, no pun intended. The other figure in that wave is She-Hulk, also looking great. The Build-A-Figure, to be determined. So I honestly, the size that Thing was, I'm still kind of shocked that he's not the Build-A-Figure. I wonder who it could be.
Yeah, I mean, your guess is as good as mine, because they kind of checked all the boxes and hit all the characters you'd want to see in a Fantastic Four series. So, who knows?
Yeah, my gut, for some reason, since they're being so coy about it, my gut is MODOK, because that's been another one that people have really wanted the Marvel Legends line to revisit, seeing as how he has not had a figure since Toy Biz line. And that's definitely one you can't do as a single pack card. I mean, he's just a monstrosity of a monstrosity. So,
I mean, there've been some pretty out there Build-A-Figs, but at the same time, there have been some ones that would be like, wow, I'm surprised this isn't a regular issue figure.
Well, I don't want to steal your thunder, speaking of Build-A-Figures, but I'm going to pass the ball over to you for some news, because you have an interesting Build-A-Figure announcement too, huh?
Yeah. So on WWE.com this past week, the WrestleMania, this year's WrestleMania 36 figure line was posted, and you got to see all the prototype images and the packaging images, and lot of cool stuff coming from that line in both battle packs, in basics, and in elites. And we'll start with the elites because that is where the build-a-figure lies. You have four figures in that WrestleMania 36 elite line. You have Booker T and Mick Foley and Kofi Kingston and Woken Matt Hardy. I think I said all four.
I think you did, but I'm staring at you incredulously. What is a Woken Matt Hardy?
So if you go back to Matt Hardy at the end of the last Impact run.
Oh, shit. Am I going to get deleted?
Yeah, that's what it is. It's the deleted thing, but it's WWE's version of the deleted character. And they're all WrestleMania themed, so these are all their kind of key WrestleMania appearances, which is nice. Kofi's being last year where he won the WWE title. And what's awesome is they all come with a part for a Build-A-Figure, which there hasn't been with the elites in a while. And the Build-A-Figure is a first of its kind. We have a flashback for 80s referee Danny Davis, which is fantastic.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Now, is that I'm trying to vision that. Is that blue shirt referee?
Blue shirt referee.
All right.
So it's going to be fantastic. Definitely intending on picking up all of those figures. I definitely, for the things that I was looking to collect, were looking for Booker T, Kofi, and Foley for sure. But I mean, Matt Hardy, just to get the rest of the referees is like a layup, in my opinion.
Now, I've not really delved too deeply into the toy photography slash display world of WWE figures. I kind of know what I know based on you know, our conversations. Is that something where people buy like a ring and kind of set them up, or do they leave them in boxes? Like, I could imagine if they are taking them, you know, off the card, having a referee has been a missing piece in many people's collection.
Yeah, for sure. There's definitely a figure photography community out there. You know, you can buy guardrails, you can buy announce tables, you can buy like cardboard crowds and cardboard stages and things of that nature. So it's out there. And it's definitely, there's definitely an audience for it. And in some instances, it's just going to be cool to have a referee, to be honest.
Especially that referee. Like, that's iconic. The only thing that's going to be unfortunate is, if I remember, was it like on the left breast they had the WWF back in the day
logo?
Not then?
No, it was just blue shirt.
Okay. All right.
Now, what's cool with Danny Davis is, too, at one point, for a lot of people, he was the first modern referee that turned heel and actually became a wrestler, which was interesting.
Yeah.
But we're just getting the ref version.
That's cool.
Your battle packs. There are three battle packs in the set. The first one is Kane and Daniel Bryan when they were Team Hell No. That's going to be from WrestleMania 29, which was in the Meadowlands. It was at MetLife Stadium. Then you have Rey Mysterio and Randy Orton. You also have Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns. Those are the three battle packs. The basic line is Becky Lynch, Seth Rollins, Batista, Stephanie McMahon, Shane McMahon, and The Rock. And it's a cool looking line, but the elites are kind of the real big story there, because there's a lot of really cool elites there and a lot of wrestlers that haven't had figures in a while. Like, there hasn't been a new Booker T in a long time.
So we have a super cool topic, and it's a big one, and we have a lot to talk about. So let's roll right into our hauls. I mentioned a lot of mine, you know, from Triple Force Friday. I was able to get Rey, Zori Bliss, the Jet Trooper, the Sith Jet Trooper, the Knight of Ren, and a surprise buy. I wasn't intending on getting him, but when I saw the Luke Skywalker in Rebel pilot gear, I had to pick him up. So outside of that, I've still been backfilling a little bit of my Marvel Legends collection. I picked up the from somebody on eBay. I got a really good deal on the Eric Killmonger from the Everett Ross 2-pack. He looks great. You know, very, very cool figure. I wanted that one because I wanted both the Michael B. Jordan head and the, you know, the masked Panther, you know, the anti-Panther head. And I also picked up today, I got MJ and the Spider-Man in the yellow coat from Washington, D.C., from Homecoming. I couldn't pass it up. And I'm looking at the Spider-Man right now. And I immediately, since I have a plethora of Spider-Mans at this point, I already have him just kind of laying down with his hands behind his head on his back, kind of like the poster. But that's all I've got.
I got a couple things. I got some stuff. I walked into a Target looking for WWE Network Spotlight figures. Found none of those, but miraculously, as if it knew I was going to be there, I found a Haunted Mansion Target exclusive Chrome 3 pack of the three Hitchhiking Ghosts, which was something I was very much looking for and very much figuring that I was never going to see, let alone own. So I picked that up.
Very good.
I also picked up, I did find a WWE Network Spotlight Target figure at one point. I found Big Daddy Cool Diesel, which was a really cool figure. I don't have a Diesel or a Kevin Nash, so now I do.
Yeah, both boxes checked.
Yeah.
And to be honest, as much as I love the NWO stuff, I actually prefer his like Wolfpack look to his NWO look with the red and black. But if I was going to go with like a quintessential Kevin Nash figure, I think I would go Diesel.
Yeah, probably.
Because that whole like Diesel, Razor Ramon era, like those two guys together, that was a lot of fun. Did you pick up anything else?
Well, I think today I picked up Tommaso Ciampa and The Miz.
You're welcome.
WWE Elites, you picked those up for me. They were ones I was just kind of, yeah, I'll get them at some point. And
yeah, I'm pretty sure they had that whole wave at my local Walmart. As soon as I saw the whole wave stacked there, my gut, like I ran right to them because I was like, please, do they have his Pat Patterson?
Yeah, I'm still looking for that Pat Patterson, and in turn, we'll be looking for that Jerry Briscoe when he comes out as well.
Are you going to do Gorilla Monsoon?
Yeah, I want the Gorilla Monsoon. That was like, I wish the Bobby Heenan was a little easier to get now, too, because...
And I like that the Gorilla Monsoon comes with a changeable jacket.
Yeah, and that's cool. That's how they do the Ultimate Arms, where you can just, the jacket is already on the other arms, and then it's that plastic jacket.
Yeah, I was very impressed when I saw that.
Red tuxedo Gorilla.
Oh, yeah, you have to. I don't know who else is going to put that other tuxedo on him. Like, when I think of him...
It's the red. It's the red jacket.
Yeah, always. So, I think it's a good time to move on to our main topic, right?
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about this one. The normal convention of thinking, right, is that you have nerd shit and you have sports shit, and like, you know, you're jocks and nerds, you know, going back to, you know, kind of like just the cultural isms of pop culture, you know, that the two groups have always been separate. But people in the know are more familiar with is we're all one and the same. So as much as Dave and I, you know, drool over Star Wars and WWE and comic books and movies and all that stuff, we are just as much into sports. And I know we're not alone with that. And there has been a collecting culture with sports probably for longer than there has been in a quote unquote pop cultural sense. You know, going back to like the cigar baseball cards and, you know, the Honus Wagners of the world and things. So with the World Series vast, you know, very, very quickly approaching, and both the American League and National League Championship Series is happening now, we thought it would be a great time to talk about baseball toys.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's relevant, and we realized as we started doing research into what we could possibly talk about, there is a shit ton of things out there to talk about.
There are a lot of baseball toys. So, thank you for listening. Have a good night.
Yes, that's it. We're done.
We're done.
Yeah. Lots of baseball toys. Any questions? So I'm actually going to pass the floor feather over to Dave, because my introduction to baseball toys came from him. So take it away,
as the older brother, that's going to be the case for most of these. So, yeah. There's been kind of in our collecting lifetime, a litany of really sports toys, but mostly baseball toys. And I think the main kind of starting point for that was Kenner's starting lineup line. And it's still something to this day that has a very iconic nature to it, in the sense that it was, you know, it was all baseball poses. There was a couple different pitching poses. There were a couple different hitting poses. There was a fielding pose. There was a sliding pose.
There were some poses that made absolutely no sense.
You know what it was? There were poses that made absolutely no sense when you were a kid, because it, you'd look at it and go, nobody throws the ball this way, but you had to realize, or swings a bat this way. But then kind of later on, you realize, oh, wait a minute, they're just put in the box that way. And you actually have to maneuver the baseball player to make the pose make sense. You know, things you learn later in life, right? So it was a pretty iconic line of figures, especially, I'll say, in our fandom, being New York Mets fans, because these dropped in 1988 at the height of, you know, that small kind of 85 to 89 Mets run, where they were good for a sustained period of time. And, you know, you'd have players like Keith Hernandez, Gary Carter, Howard Johnson, Daryl Strawberry, Dwight Gooden. They were all of the Mets players that were in that 1988 line, which was crazy because they were wearing the 1987 away jerseys. But
yeah, they made some decisions with that first wave.
Yeah, like, the crazy decision was like, so, and I think this took a while to even fix, if at all. The original 1988 line, both the Mets and the Yankees were wearing away jerseys, because no jersey had pinstripes, but some had piping. So there were stripes in the jerseys.
You know, it doesn't surprise me, you know, what we know now about Kenner, especially from like documentaries like The Toys That Made Us, right? You know, where you see that the guys that were working on these were like literally like four dudes in an office
on a shoestring budget.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, thinking about it that way, like, oh, okay, that actually kind of makes sense. Those were simpler jerseys, required cheaper paint apps.
Yeah. Like when you see the original Jawa was like wearing a sock.
Yeah.
Like, that's amazing.
Yes. By the way, if you're not following The Toys That Made Us on Instagram and you are a toy collector, you are really, really missing out. They are an extremely active account for a show that has two seasons and like what, like 10 episodes?
I think that third one's coming.
Third one is coming. They've been hinting at like Power Rangers, which I'm really excited about. But
I think wrestling is one for next one too.
Maybe. Yeah, they're a great follow. But anyway.
But enough about them, more about us. So those starting lineup figures were great, and they ventured into all sports, and they were around for, geez, the better part of a decade at least.
Yeah, it went well into the 90s.
Might have even gone into the aughts a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like that ended in like 2000, 2001, but they were so limited and difficult to find at that point.
Well, for those of you that are maybe not familiar with the name, if you saw these figures, you would definitely know what they were. I know I very closely associate them with the movie Home Alone. There's that one scene where after Kevin has kind of like settled into the fact that he is home alone, he sets up those sports figures, those Chicago native sports figures on the laundry chute. And with the door propped open, and he takes them all out with the BB gun, those are starting lineup figures. And I think most of the sports, probably not hockey, but I can visualize the Chicago Bulls jersey, and I think there's like a Cubs jersey in there.
Yeah, I don't remember. I think so.
Yeah,
there might have been a Bear in there as well.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah, he takes them out with the BB gun. But like those are those starting lineup figures, like with the base glued to one of their feet and, you know, kind of in some sort of athletic pose.
Yeah, they were cool figures. I liked them. They were very good. And they also spawned one of the I'll say craziest tabletop games, electronic tabletop games of all time. Starting lineup Talking Baseball.
Oh, we're going to get weird now.
So brief history lesson. There were those Coleco little kind of traveling tabletop electronic games where it was just basically red lights that would signify the ball or the player or whatever the case may be. It was like an Atari 2600 game that you would take with you and play football, but there were no players. There were no, like, there was no specific player to it. It was just, you know, you hit the button for hit and stuff happened.
Yes, kids, you had to use your imagination.
So with Starting Lineup Talking Baseball, what you had was you had this little stadium and it would spin. There was actually a little kind of spindle at the bottom where you could, because each inning...
Like a, it was like a lazy Susan.
Kind of. And after each half inning, you had to switch. So if you were hitting one half inning, you had to turn it to do the pitching part. And on the stadium, and it was in the shape of a stadium, on the field, you had a light for first, a light for second, a light for third, and then nine lights for home plate that signified the strike zone. And you had to, based on where the pitch was, decide if you were going to swing or not. And it would flash. And so you had, as it was in each part of the strike zone, you had to, on a specific flash, hit the ball. It was insanely advanced for what it was, in all honesty, because built into the game, you had the American League All-Stars for, it had to have been like 1988 or 1989, and the National League All-Stars. And then you had a cartridge for Hall of Famers. So those were the three teams that you had that came with the game. And they came with square baseball cards. And we'll get to the importance of the cards in a moment. But eventually, what you could also do, because there were 26 teams at the time, and it, of course, was not an even number, they had different cartridges for the different teams. And it was, I want to say, 3 to 4 teams per cartridge. And I had them all. I had the entire league at the time. And what you would do is, in order to play a game, you could either play as the All-Stars, and that was the default, or when you put a cartridge in, you had to type in the number for which team you wanted to play as or play against. And they weren't the official Major League Baseball teams. That was not the license they had. They just had the Players Association license, which was weird because for the figures, they had both.
Yeah, so this was a dual partner, or I should say a two partner product. So Kenner, as we mentioned, had the Starting Lineup figures. Kenner partnered with Parker Brothers to produce Talking Baseball. So the Starting Lineup figures, they utilized the actual MLB license, so they were able to have the jerseys, the logos, all that. The Talking Baseball did not have that license, so the players were... their likenesses were there, their names were there, but they were all wearing like if you had the Mets and you had Keith Hernandez, it was Keith Hernandez
in a blank blue hat.
Exactly.
So that was how that worked. Now, the game itself, on each side, whether you were the pitching side or the hitting side, you had a keypad, and then you had other keys around it, and it was like a regular telephone keypad. So it was 1 through 9 and then 0. And then you had, different things like steal, swing, pinch hitter, pinch runner, etc. And on pitching, you had the different pitch selection and all this different stuff. Now, where the cards came in was each player had a number. So if you wanted to pinch hit for somebody, you had to hit pinch hit and type in the number of the player you wanted to have pinch hit or pitch or whatever the case may be.
Part Dungeons and Dragons, part baseball, part computer programming.
Incredibly deep game for what it was. Like, to build the lineup, you needed like a slide rule. Like, it was
you needed a fucking abacus. You know, now I was reading articles about this because when Dave mentioned this, I'm sitting there thinking, like, I don't really remember this. And then as soon as I saw a picture of it, I was like, oh, this is that thing that was like a talking baseball game that I could never figure out. Duh, talking baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But
now keep in mind, you were like, by the time you started playing with it, you were like a hot 4 years old.
Yeah. So, but it's funny because like the article, all the articles written by, you know, your contemporaries were hilarious because it was people kind of like waxing poetic about how ahead of its time this game was and how in depth it was and how much fun it was. But the fucking problem was you could never find another person to play with because no one else took the time to learn how to play it.
And it was by the time you figured out how to play, it became so easy to cheat at it to like because you could take over at any time instead of playing with the computer. So you could like, all right, Daryl Strawberry's up and I have two men on base with two outs. I'm just going to throw fastballs.
Yeah.
And if you hit it in the right place, like lock home run.
Yep.
So,
yeah. And so that's the other place where that's the other thing the cards played into. Right. So the cards had stats on them. So, of course, like, you know, your big name players, like you knew what their strengths were if you were a fan of the sport at the time.
Well, it was like a proper baseball card in the sense that it just had the previous year's stats on it and then what you needed to do to put them in the game.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure from what I was reading, again, I never actually played this. Like, I remember it being in the living room, but I don't remember ever attempting to actually play it. But from what I was reading, the stats on the card, to your point, you know, if you needed a ringer, there were certain players that were programmed to be better than other players. You know, just in terms of if you are making contact with the ball, I don't know how the game kind of, I don't know what the algorithm was for it at the time, but from what it seems is like if you had a player, you know, if you were playing with the Cooperstown team, you know, you were playing with the Legends team and you had Babe Ruth, you know, you were more likely to hit a home run with him on contact.
Yeah, most likely. The other thing too, and I'm looking at them now, when you had the individual teams, they were like almost like Drew Struzan paintings of the players.
Yes.
And then the all-star team was it was pictures.
But yeah, the starting lineup and the talking baseball, those were kind of like, you know, again, we know that, you know, collecting and baseball goes way back, especially with cards and things like that. But I feel like that was really the moment that that like action figures and sports kind of took off.
Yeah.
And from there, you know, there's a huge, huge, huge baseball industry. I mean, when it comes to toys, like look at the stuff that Funko's doing. Right. Mm-hmm. So they have, of course, the mascots out. You know, I have to mention, even though I know it will bring a deep pain to you, the original Mr. Met.
Oh, yeah. I should have bought that at Citi Field the one time.
And they have since produced another one, but it is not. It actually looks better because
I like the blue jersey on him better, but he doesn't wear that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, no.
Unless they do. Mr. Met wears the home pinstripes.
Yes. But also like it, you know, they do players and, you know, Funko being based out of Seattle. They have a deep connection with, you know, the Mariners fans out there and, you know, the involvement in the stadium and some of the minor league teams. For those that follow baseball, a man that will go down as one of the greatest hitters in baseball history retired this year, Ichiro, and on his final home game, in Seattle, Funko, they were the stadium giveaway and they gave away Ichiro pops. And of course, in true Funko fashion, there were chases. So some people got, I think it was an all gold or an all bronze or something like that, Ichiro, which I didn't see a picture of the chase one, but I saw a picture of the standard one and it looks great. I mean, it's just what you'd expect, but they also have they have two Babe Ruths that recently came out. One was a New York Comic Con exclusive. They have the mascots as we mentioned, but they also do some players. So I know we probably sound like broken records at this point with the Mets stuff, but Noah Syndergaard mm-hmm. Has had two treatments, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, and that's kind of one thing where I wish they could do more or would do more. The two series of players have been like home and away. So the first series was Noah Syndergaard, a home jersey. The second series was Noah Syndergaard in an away jersey. You know, Aaron Judge in a home jersey, Aaron Judge in an away jersey. Yeah, there's two Max Scherzers.
Yeah, but that one, the Max Scherzer one, I think that as much as I am not a fan of his team, I actually like that pop because they did the two different colored eyes on it, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. And then, you know, you had kind of some happy accidents, we'll say, like Giancarlo Stanton was originally supposed to be a Miami Marlins pop vinyl. However, he got traded before the first series came out. So he's Giancarlo Stanton with a goatee, which would not fly on the New York Yankees because of the no facial hair except for mustaches policy.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
So, you know, I would like more players. Like, I would love to see a, you know, back to another Met, like a Pete Alonso. Give me
Mike Piazza.
I mean, if they do more kind of classic players, absolutely.
I feel like that's there's a good market for that because
you know, Vlad Jr.
Oh, you know who else did that recently? That I'm just thinking of now. Was it Super 7? Didn't they do like baseball legends?
Yeah, they did. They have a first series of baseball legends and mascots, which at San Diego Comic-Con, I know they showed more legends and more mascots. So far, the only mascot that's out is the Philly Fanatic, which, of course, legendary mascot.
Yeah.
And then a couple of legendary players.
Yeah. And that's another line that like those things are so cool. I love what they're doing.
They're really cool. They're like that old school small G.I. Joe figure.
Yeah. Yep. But then you had for a while the McFarlane baseball figures. And that's actually where my absolute favorite baseball figure I have ever seen was the McFarlane Arizona Diamondbacks Randy Johnson. And I just remember the first time I saw that figure. And Randy Johnson's one of those athletes, you know, where he kind of he surpassed just being a great athlete.
Yeah, he had a presence. Like he had this he was this intimidating presence.
I mean, the guy exploded a pigeon.
Accurate.
If you have not seen that, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the pigeon, like RIP pigeon, but it's one of the craziest like baseball clips you could watch. Please pause this podcast at this moment. Go to YouTube and just type in Randy Johnson pigeon. It will come up and it will blow your mind, and then come back and finish this with us. But it's crazy. And I mean, the guy was for those that remember the movie Little Big League, they rolled him out in kind of like the villain role where he came in as a closing pitcher. Yeah,
imagine this, like the movie made Ken Griffey Jr. and Randy Johnson the villains of the film.
Yeah, which by the way, like the fact that team never won any World Series together is just kind of pseudo adjacent topic, but like they had some superstars on that team and never managed to do much, unfortunately. But you know, by the time you know he was sort of winding down his career, he went to the Arizona Diamondbacks and kind of had a second wind there.
He was not winding down his career at all.
Oh, no, Yankees was when he was winding.
Yeah,
down
he
his
was
career.
At
yeah.
the height of being Randy Johnson.
You're right.
In Arizona.
You're right. Yeah, no, he was peak Randy Johnson there. But I remember seeing that McFarlane figure and thinking like, oh my God, look how far they've come with likenesses and being able to nail, you know, somebody's appearance, and just seeing that figure in Toys R Us next to, you know, all the other stuff that was going on, thinking like, this is the future, you know, like I can't wait to see what, you know, what other brands do to try to like compete with this. And granted, like, you know, those figures were truly collectibles. Like they weren't action figures. They were meant to be taken out of the box, set up with their little set piece. I think he came with a pitcher's rubber and, you know, a little mound. And, you know, he had a very distinct style too, especially the way he finished and followed through on a pitch. And I think that's what the figure was. He was kind of like hunched over and bent down, like with his head out, but like his hand down, like he had just finished a pitch. Very impressive figure.
Yeah, and those definitely captured a lot of what made the player the player. Like, you caught a lot of their personality. Like, if there was somebody who had a specific kind of wind up, they would capture that.
Yeah.
Or a specific swing, they would capture that. And that was pretty fantastic. It also was one of the first figure lines. I mean, I guess there's always been variants in some form or fashion, but that was really where you got to see a lot of chase variants, where, you know, the chase variant might be an alternate jersey or, you know, an alternate. Well, it was generally not an alternate pose. It was usually an alternate jersey.
Or some sort of like facial touch up. Like maybe they had eye black on one and not on the other, you know?
Yeah. But it was mostly like, you know, if the main figure was in a road jersey, the chase might be in a home jersey, or vice versa.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool too. And they had, if you had a figure, if you had a player who had more than one figure across many series, you know, you'd have Mike Piazza swinging a bat or on his backswing on one, and then Mike Piazza catching on the next figure. Or you might have a pitcher in a windup in one, or and then a pitcher in his follow through in the next one. There was a great one of, I think, Mariano Rivera coming out of the bullpen was, I think, one, which was
yes.
pretty cool.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And his little set piece that came with him was the bullpen doors.
Yeah, that was pretty neat.
Yep, I remember that.
Or it wasn't maybe not the bullpen doors, but the background was of him coming out of the Yankee Stadium bullpen.
Yeah, like it looked like the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they also did, you know, one of the things, you know, we sort of mentioned with the Ichiro pop, there was a McFarlane Stadium tie-in too, right? Like a giveaway.
I don't think it was a giveaway so much as it was just a stadium exclusive toy. And I don't know where else they did this. I don't know if it was just something that was, and again, we're going back to Mets stuff because that's what we know.
Man, all of our listeners in Philadelphia are going to be like super pissed.
If they're there. it was David Wright and Jose Reyes. They had two separate years. I don't know if one was a Citi Field and the other one was Shea Stadium. I know at least one of them was a Shea Stadium. But they were mini versions of the figures. And that was one thing they did too, was they would take all of the detail that was in the regular figure and shrink it down to like a mini figure, which was insane because it kept all of the details as well, and all the decoration, and everything was accurate in that considerably smaller size. And they did those as stadium exclusives in some instances. I know you were able to get them as well, but they were also stadium exclusives, which was nice.
Yeah, and I could speak to the detail on not those two specific figures, but I actually ordered it by accident a few years ago. I really wanted a Ray Lewis McFarlane figure, and I found it on Amazon and didn't do the due diligence of looking it up. And I was like, oh man, that's really cheap for like a 6-inch McFarlane Ray Lewis figure that's out of print. It showed up and it was about 3 inches tall,
mm-hmm.
but it's the most detailed 3-inch tall figure I've ever seen.
Yeah, I still have mine in the packaging because they were the stadium exclusive, and I think that is part of the charm of those little minifigures is kind of where I got them.
Yeah. Yep. I actually ended up – mine came with my Ray Lewis one came with a Jeremy Shockey Giants figure, I think it was. It was like a little like weird –
Was that from the Super Bowl?
I think it might have been.
Okay.
It was a weird little two-pack, and, you know – being in New Jersey, I'm surrounded by Giants fans. So I found somebody in the office. I was just like, hey, you want Jeremy Shockey for your desk? So they took him. I mentioned my favorite baseball figure. So I'm going to put the spot. I'm going to put you on the spot. What's your favorite baseball toy, Dave?
My favorite baseball toy. That's a tough one. You know, part of me wants to go with the starting lineup because they were first.
And I know you love that
Greg Jeffries. Yeah, because I played second base when I was a kid. and he was like the new rookie second baseman that didn't pan out for the Mets, but it was still kind of cool.
And he wore your number too, right?
Well, that's why it's my number. That's why 9 is my number.
And my number is 9 because it was your number.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to go with starting lineup just because it was first. And I remember trying to find as many of them as I could.
So I feel like we'd be remiss without signing off without a little baseball prediction, Dave. So we're okay. Both huge baseball fans, right? We have the perfect timing here. We're recording this episode right before the ALCS and the NLCS series starts. We've got 4 teams left. We've got the Nationals, the Cardinals, the Yankees, and the Astros. Who do you think are the 2 teams that are going to make it to the World Series, and who do you think is going to win?
Let's go American League.
Okay.
First and foremost.
And this isn't who you want. It's who do you think is going to do it?
Conventional wisdom has, for me, a Houston and probably Washington World Series. I do think Washington's better than St. Louis, but that's like asking me what my favorite vegetable is.
The one that's not green.
I don't like many of them, to be honest.
You could go in for a carrot.
I could eat a carrot. I put lettuce on my sandwiches.
So you're going Nationals, Astros. Who's taking it?
I feel like the Astros pitching is just going to be too good. And with that said, you know, game 1 of the Yankees series is probably going to be like 8-2 Yankees. Because that's how unagainst conventional wisdom the whole playoffs have gone thus far. So I'm going to go with, I'm going to go Yankees and Washington with the Yankees winning.
All right. I am also going to take the Nationals out of the National League. And as much as I actually really, really love this Yankees team. Like they've had a really great story this season. They have played through injury. It's been a lot of fun to follow them kind of like on the side. But the Astros are terrifying at the same time. So I'm going to go Houston Nationals, but I'm going to go Nationals winning the World Series. And the only reason I say that now is I feel like they've had this kind of like fire coming off of a bunch of seasons with Bryce Harper and him kind of being very vocal. And, I feel like that team wants to win and win without him. but I'm going to go Houston Nationals with the Nationals taking it. You're welcome, Tyler. and with that,
by the way, you're welcome, Heather's boyfriend.
Yeah. Oh, damn it. Yeah. You're welcome, Heather's boyfriend. I messed that up. We're not editing that one out.
No, that's going to editing what? We do this perfectly every time.
Thank you, dear listener, for hanging out with us today. Subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen, and then tell your friends to do it. Thanks also to Joe Azari, the golden voice behind our intro. Our music is Game Boy Horror by the Zombie Dandies. Find more about them both in our show notes.
Follow us on social media at AIC_podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Stop by and say hi, show us your toy hauls, and share your toy stories. Maybe we'll talk about it in a future episode.
Don't try this at home. Void where prohibited and some assembly required. Each sold separately, not a flying toy. Consult a physician if your toy run exceeds more than 4 hours.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.